Well, welcome to the Grace Truth Podcast, Episode 7, the season finale.
It's the finale.
Come on.
It's complete.
You're not going to want to miss this one. Let's go. All right, well, we are back with episode 7. Like we said, season finale. You don't want to miss what's coming up in this episode. Unbelievable announcement at the end of this.
Very special announcement at the very end. Do not fast forward, though.
You do not. No.
Keep it on 1.5 speed.
1.5. For those of you that are 2.0, I want your brain. How do you even do that?
I try. I can't do it.
It's impossible. But very excited to be back with everyone. We have recently, and I mean recently as in like yesterday, started a new series called The Way.
Come on, so good.
And we have already seen in the first day what God has in store, a little bit of what God's got in store for our church over the next month. The month of May is The Way.
That's right. And I did not intend for that to rhyme, Matt.
just realized that rhymes. As always, want to encourage you to subscribe and follow Auburn Community Church for our podcast from the sermons that happen on Sunday. If you stick around long enough, you get to see the long arc of what God is speaking to our church through the sermons brought by Miles and guests as well. So please don't forget to subscribe to that. That will drop in your inbox. Share that. And always subscribe to Grace Truth. But we want to kind of dive into The Way and unpack some of the stuff that you mentioned yesterday in your sermon, Miles, about talking about what is The Way? Who is The Way? And how is The Way?
Yeah, so the whole idea that launched this entire series was keeping in mind that 2,000 years ago, Jesus followers were not most often known as Christians. In fact, in the New Testament, the moment where the Christians at Antioch are first called Christians, it's used as an insult from non-believers who are like, oh, those are those people who are like little Christ. And it became sort of this nickname that stuck. And now literally we are known as Christians under the umbrella of Christianity because of that name. But 2,000 years ago, believers in Jesus called themselves followers of the way. And the idea was that Jesus, as a Jewish rabbi who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, dies on a Roman cross, rises again, offers new life by the power of his Holy Spirit. He actually invites us into a relationship with him where he, as a shepherd, leads our lives with his voice. And so the simplicity of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is this. Do you make the highest priority in your life listening and responding to the voice of Jesus?
Wow.
And that's what this series is all about. But honestly, we're inviting anyone connected to our church to really think through how they are formed over time spiritually and make sure to create some space over the course of the next 3 months to let the voice of God form you from the inside up. So I'm fired up about what God is going to do. And I loved yesterday, but I feel like every week of this series, we're going to be ascending even more. And what's cool about being in this room with Matt and Gage and Tyler is each one of them is actually preaching this month because we're talking about the voice of God. I think too many times we tie the voice of God to the voice of an individual.
Yeah.
And what's amazing about this series is every week there will be a different voice from the stage, but it will be the same voice spiritually.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit speaking through different people in different situations. So I'm very curious to see what this season looks like for our church and want to invite everybody. Let's make this the summer of spiritual formation, even though that fires up no one. It's actually awesome.
No, that's fantastic. And just for a second, Miles, would you just kind of tell us what summer's been like for Auburn Community Church in the past? Like people, it's so funny. People are like, oh my gosh, you guys like, you know, get a vacation because students are gone. And we're like, what?
Life does not stop in Auburn, Alabama, particularly for a community church that has as many families as we do. And, you know, there is a little bit of an exhale because life slows down. I feel like this happens all over the place because school's out and people got trips planned and you kind of take a breath. But what I've found to be true more often than not in my own life personally is that the illusion of a break causes us to waste a season wow. that could have had massive wow. growth attached to it.
Absolutely.
Yep. So we waste away thinking, okay, this is my season to do nothing, or this is my season to finally go on that trip or get some margin for this or that. But the reality is, if you don't make a decision with intentionality to create a different future, you will end up being formed by distractions that keep you as the person you don't want to be, or hold you back from becoming the person God's called you to be. So we're trying to be intentional and go, how do you make this summer all about two things? Listening to the voice of God and responding and acting on what you heard with a life of obedience. This is not radical Christianity where only the special five-star Christians live like this. Like, this is basically what it means to be a follower of Jesus in the New Testament. I think we just got to remove some of the layers of confusion and distraction from what's causing our minds to miss it so often, and I think God's going to use it and do something great.
I totally agree. We're talking, you know, you mentioned five-star, and I started going to the draft, and I started thinking about all that stuff, and we're not talking about, like, Tom Brady spirituality. We're talking more like Jalen Hurts spirituality.
Oh,
like,
my.
Available, wow. like, you know, like, this Present. Is kind of the basic yeah. expectation of believers.
Matt, where'd your wife go to school?
We don't need to talk about that. A championship caliber school. We'll just leave that there. But I think it's so cool, Miles. You know, we don't shun away from vacations. Like, we want people to get rest. Go have yeah. fun with your family. Like, get time together. Do all that. But that is not the place, just the place where your soul gets filled and you get rejuvenated. That's in the presence of God.
Yes.
That's in the presence. And you said that yesterday so powerfully. The space that you create for the presence of God, He's going to fill it.
Yep. And the more time I spend with Jesus and the more intentionality I put to creating room for the Holy Spirit to do something in my life, that's how much I experience Him. So I'm not saying this principle holds true about everything in your life physically or everything in your life financially, but I believe with the presence of God, the space that you create becomes the space that God fills.
So good.
And that's why in the monastic movement, like, that's something we never talk about, is how many monks went away from everyday life to experience the presence of God. And when you read books like Prayers of the Desert Fathers, Oof. And these people who spent their whole lives pursuing the presence of God, the revelation they would get, and we're not talking about weird, oh, I don't know if that was God. I mean, like, people who knew God deeper than any of us in our busy, crazy, hectic lives. Well, what context did that happen in? It happened in the context of creating the space for God to move, and we cannot ignore the fuel for Jesus's ministry being 40 days and 40 nights, no food, no water, just the voice of His Father sustaining Him. And the ministry that flows from that level of communion and devotion feeds and supplies for so many. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fill up on the presence of God, but also live it out in a lifestyle of obedience. And we'd love to hear from our younger guys on staff about what they're taking away from yesterday and what they're applying for this summer. So, Gage, speak into our college students, because when I was in college, I wasted every summer doing whatever I wanted to do and just being happy that school was out. So I'd love for you to challenge them
and working
as they head out all over the world.
Chili's.
That's
Chili's.
Not a waste of time.
It's a good
that's an investment. That's a great investment.
Yeah, I would say one is, you can tell probably by what happened in the pandemic, like what your rhythms were originally is probably where you're going to go immediately in the summer. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, all of a sudden I thought, oh, I'd have so much more time to do all these things I want to do. And what I filled it with more Netflix, and I filled it with dumb things like puzzles. Like, literally I wasted time doing things.
Whoa.
Okay. Some of you are puzzlers out there. Mad respect. Not for me.
Courtney loves puzzles and she's so good.
Wow.
But the reality is that puzzles. I filled time out of nowhere with stuff that didn't matter. Right. So I feel like right now, leading into the summer, every college student has a vision of who they want to be coming back, but they don't think about the steps that need to be taken to get there. And a lot of us think, oh, by the time I'm a senior, I'll have it figured out. And what does every senior say to us? Every senior is like, what's the will of God for my life? So I'm figuring it out. Help. And so I feel like right now is the time. I heard Ben Stewart talk about this. People are like, how do you know the Bible so well? He was like, I was single in college and I just read it. That's all he said.
Imagine that.
I know. And wow. So it's crazy because it's hard because we've tried to decipher this voice of God. It's really hard to manipulate the voice of God when you're staring at his words on a page.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So I would say jump
in. That's good.
That's my advice. Jump into the Bible.
And it was cool for us yesterday to say goodbye to so many. Every time graduation season hits, it's such a sad day at ACC, but I love that we sent hundreds of students all over the world
who are
leaving Auburn, and they're going to shine and be flaming arrows for the glory of God all over the place. Tyler, I would love for you to talk about what are these rhythms of walking in the way of Jesus? How does that apply to middle and high schoolers?
I think the coolest thing is, and we've talked about this briefly before here, but sometimes some of the younger generation are asking different questions than we think that they're asking. And so we start talking about spiritual disciplines. You start talking about some of the monastic fathers and all of that kind of details. There's different ways to do that now, but you're not lacking in doing that. Like something I've seen recently from some of our seniors that are our leaders, they do a lot of intentional things with their phone and social media that's creating a lot of space for them to hear. We always are like, oh, these phones, they're blah, blah, blah. They're,
I'm just curious, problems. What kind of stuff?
Like, okay, for example, I was shocked. 21 Days of Prayer. Most of the seniors I know were off of social media when we did 21 Days of Prayer. I was shocked that that was the first thing that they gave up. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh my gosh, all this revelation. To the point where some of them haven't gotten back on certain social medias, the ones they know are like just more like nonsense voice as opposed to connection. And so some of the space that they're creating, there's disciplines that they put in practice of like, oh, okay, I am, you know, I know in this class we, if we're being honest, we work for an hour and then we have 20 minutes at the end where we're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They're reading the Bible during that time.
So
for students, when you, if you're in high school or middle school, a lot of times, like we talk about college students, sometimes maybe waste summer or different times like that. Students, sometimes you're moving so fast. You've got school all day, then you have practice, and then you're going on a vacation, and then you're going to the lake this weekend, but you're going to the beach the next week. I just know that's how summers are for students in Auburn. It's nonstop.
Seriously, awesome. I worked at Kroger.
I lifeguarded, so it's, wow. You know, but they have all of
Chili's
these things
wins.
constant.
Jesus wins.
Wow. All right, just Chili's. Two Chili's reference in one podcast.
We're not sponsored yet.
Not nearly enough.
Not yet.
Slightly better Applebee's, but thank you, Matt.
The special announcement at the end of this podcast is that our youth pastor has been fired.
Can you tell that this is the finale? As I was saying, they get so distracted from all of these things that students, I think you have way more opportunity to create really intentional space in the rhythms of how you're doing things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to look like a certain way.
Yeah.
The Spirit is going to work in what happens and how you listen. You just have to be intentional about creating that space.
So good.
And screensavers. It's been amazing to watch how many people make scripture their screensaver.
So good.
And because they look at their phone so much and all of a sudden they're slowly memorizing verses,
getting the word in you.
That's good.
You know what you should think about every time, you know, students, if you're listening, TikTok, that name is the sound of your life. TikToking away on a clock because you're wasting all.
Never
that's
been on it.
Same. It's just feels like a weird world. Anyways, so one of the things that we talked about was the way. So Jesus, he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he's like, it's better that I go. Trust me, I'm sending you my Spirit. Like, this is better. He's gonna live in you. I can't live in you. I'm me. Like, I'm leaving to send him. And he finally, at the end of his time on earth, he says, hey, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, teaching them to do everything I've done, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. So kind of unpack that for us, because that's the, like he's saying, hey, walk in that way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here anymore. So all my disciples who you followed me for these last 3 years, like I'm not here anymore. You got to go do this. And he's saying, go and do what I did.
And what's interesting about that command, you actually pointed this out last week, Matt, is that the Greek translation of that word go, that's not an imperative like go right now. It actually means as you are going. It means like, yeah, as you go, wherever you're going, to your job, to your home, to your life, as you are going, here's the mission. Go and replicate what we have done together all over the world. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit so you can do it to a whole new degree because you can know me intimately and personally. Mm-hmm. And then my power is going to be transforming you over time. And then you're going to have the capacity to do what I did on planet Earth, spreading the kingdom of God all over the world and making disciples. And so when we decide to be disciples of Jesus, this is so awesome. You get invited on the adventure of a lifetime of being one of the followers Jesus picked.
So
we think of being a follower of Jesus as a decision that we made. No, none of the disciples decided to follow Jesus. They were called by Jesus and they said yes.
Yeah.
If you're hearing this right now, you have a decision to make personally about what you do with the invitation of Jesus. And that invitation is not, hey, come with me and I'll get you to the destination. It's come follow me. I'm the destination. I'm the way. I'm the truth. Good. I'm the life. And so, yes, we might be going some places that are painful and uncomfortable. We might be going some places that you never expected would even be possible. And I'm going to bless you in ways you can't even see. But the focus and the ambition of it all is just, how can I get close enough to my shepherd to still hear his voice? Because he is my treasure. And so I've made this statement several times in our church, and I feel like it happened in a moment where the Holy Spirit breathed on what I was saying. As I said it, I realized that's what so many people need. The Holy Spirit gives enough clarity to take the next step, but not enough certainty to eliminate faith.
So good.
You get, when you're following Jesus, he'll give you enough clarity for today. He'll give you enough sustenance for today. And sometimes it's literally just for this present moment. But there's a reason why the psalmist said, your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. That means I can see what's right in front of me, even if I can't see 5 miles down the road. And that is where our trust is as we're walking with Jesus. The practical way of doing this is spiritual disciplines. But the motivating factor behind all of this is come go on the journey and adventure of a lifetime, because Jesus is better at leading and managing your life than you could ever be. And you get him in the process.
That is so good. That is so good. And the title of your message yesterday was Listening and Doing. Mm-hmm. And you talked about how there's kind of a group of us. The church almost sometimes seems split down the middle of, there's a group that are the listeners and there's the group that are the doers. But we all struggle with finding the balance of finding the way of, hey, I'm listening and I'm simultaneously doing. You know, James is challenging us, be not only listeners, but doers. But he wants us to be both. He's challenging us to be both. So how do we as individuals and the church, the big church, but let's just talk ACC, how do we find that middle ground where we all kind of come to the middle and go, you know what? We're going to absorb and listen to what the Spirit is speaking.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get, like you said, overweight, obese on just taking in the milk. We need the solid food, and we need to go do what he's saying. So how do we kind of get to the middle of that as individuals and Auburn Community Church?
Well, there's good news and there's bad news in that question. The good news is it's pretty easy to tell how to find your balance. And the bad news is it's easy to tell because we are so far on extremes in this. Mm. Like, I could talk to somebody for less than a minute and figure out whether or not they are spiritually obese or spiritually impoverished. Mm. Most of the people I talk to in our church are, it's so obvious. You have to start acting on what you are reading and what you are hearing and making decisions according to the faith that you claim. Mm. But then I talk to others and it's so obvious that you are spiritually impoverished and you are trying to pour out an empty cup, and you have to let the love of God fill you so that the power of God doesn't deplete you as you're working out your faith. And so for most people, it's obvious. And I would say if it's not blatantly obvious, you probably have a good balance. But most of us are on the extreme, and we know immediately in hearing that, okay, what does it look like? And I think I can veer toward multiple extremes at the exact same time in different areas of my life.
Yeah.
So there's areas of my life, like my preaching ministry, where I'm almost always on the impoverished side. And then there's areas of my life, like paying attention to how are my words coming across in the average shallow conversation during the day, where I'm not thinking about the fact that the word of God says this, this, and this about anger, or this, this, and this about malice. I love when you preached on that word. I was like, who talks about malice? But I'm like, man, am I letting these footholds get in my heart without even really realizing that I'm supposed to apply the book that I claim to believe and actually have a position that requires me to be somewhat of an expert on? I think we're all self-aware enough to know this is where I have to grow and this is what I have to do.
And I really wanted to ask Gage this. You know, you spend an amazing amount of time with college students. You know, you're kind of, I mean, you're kind of in a way sometimes like a rabbi to them. You know, they're following. They're just like, Gage, we want to hang out. Like, can we play pickleball?
And then they catch
us at the Nationals.
What do I do? Who do I marry? Do I break up with her? Do I take this job? What do I do? Gage, what do I do?
They're asking you. They're following you whether you want them to or not. And they're looking up to you. You know, what would you say? Because I feel like we look at the general college population, ACC, and it's like, y'all need to, like, half of you do really feel like you're just listening. Like, what do you, like, what would you say it is you do here? A little Office Space reference. And then the other ones, it's like, hey, can you just, like, stop for 2 seconds and realize that you're doing way too much? Like, where would you say ACC is in that? And what would you say as advice to college students leaving and about to go into a world that just wants them to do?
Yeah, I would say it starts with, I think Paul says in Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition. And I think that both sides have that root, that you're operating sometimes out of a fear one way or the other. So you're like, I'm afraid I don't matter. I'm afraid I don't have enough. So what do? You serve. You do a ton of things, but ultimately your purpose behind it is not actually Jesus. You love serving God, but you don't love God in the process. But on the same side, the flip side of that is that most people are afraid that they're not enough, or they're afraid that they can't actually activate the words on the page that they're reading and saying, you know what? No, God has made you a creation specifically for a purpose that's individualized, that something that you bring to the table, somebody else doesn't bring to the table, whether that's a circumstance, whether that's a gift. So I feel like sometimes exactly what Bruce Lowe talked about a few weeks ago, Dr. Bruce Lowe talked about
give credit where credit is due.
Dr. Bruce Lowe talked about the fact that ultimately you're actually missing out on part of Jesus if you don't serve and if you don't show up to serve at times.
That's good.
So I feel like a lot of times we look at the people who are our pinnacle Christians and think, oh, one day, you know, I'd be like that person. But reality is those people spent time slowly walking, slowly saying yes to the opportunities and saying no to the ones that were actually going to deplete them in the long run.
Wow. And then briefly, Tyler, you know, we all went through elementary, middle, high school and trying to figure out who we are and growing and trying to, I know for a lot of us, I mean, we spent time in the church. Like we were listening a lot and we were wanting to be who Jesus wanted us to be. But then I go to high school and I go on my sports team and it's like, they just want me to do better and they just want me to perform better. And then I get caught up in the who am I all over again. Well, I just ended the school year like this. Say I'm a junior going into it's my senior year, and I just want to be better, and I just want to do this and that in my senior year. How would you say, like, a high schooler, Miles Challenge people, 3 months from now, who are you going to be? We're listening to God. We're doing what the Word is saying. What would you say to the junior who's about to be a senior or the eighth grader? What would you say to them as they're about to spend the next few months asking the question, Jesus, who do you want me to be?
I think the most important thing, because I think we can all speak to this, and no matter where you are or what you're involved in, you're, you know, the best athlete on the team, or you aren't interested in sports and you just go to school and that's your thing, or you're like, I don't know what my thing is. What we're all looking for, truthfully, and especially middle school and high schoolers, is approval. And the thing they need to hear is you are approved of, period, because of what Jesus has done on the front side. So as we come into this summer and it's like, okay, I'm trying to be formed, it's not really about you earning it. It's not about you being better. When they step into those situations, I've had multiple conversations with high schoolers specifically. It's hey, I'm not telling you you're going to stop playing sports or stop going to school or stop doing the things. You're doing all of those things for completely different reasons and in a completely different way now, because you know what Jesus is calling you to. So it's an awareness as opposed to adding things. Because a lot of times those high school and middle schools, they're like, I can't do more. It's you're doing it all differently because of what Jesus has done for you.
Wow. Well, there's so much to unpack. We've got four more weeks of this series. We've got Tyler, Gage, myself, and then we've got a special wrap-up of the series, The Way, for Memorial Day, Church at Home. Put that on your calendar for sure.
So good.
And the summer will be over before we know it. It feels like it just started, but it's going to be over. And Miles, what would you say? Look, you've given the challenge. You said, hey, let's look at our calendars. We got 3 months till things kind of kick back up in Auburn particularly. Yeah. And this fall is going to be crazy, like new football coach, new season. Things are opening back up. Praise God. That's amazing. And we've established the fact, like, look, you're not going to be perfect in 3 months,
yeah.
No matter how much you read your Bible, no matter how much you pray, fast, whatever. But kind of what's the takeaway of like, hey, here's what we're looking to do in these 3 months.
Yeah. I think you'd be shocked at how much a slight change in your daily practices could form you into a different person. And we see this in physical fitness. You put some very minimal decisions and changes into your daily life and fitness plan and routine. And then you immediately go, oh, wow, I don't see anything. But 3 months of doing those things daily, you're going, I can do things I couldn't do 3 months ago. And I've got a capacity for this. And now I'm thinking about leaning into this. That's what I want to see happen spiritually. Mm-hmm. I want to see such a growth happening in our people to where it's like, no, I'm not nearly complete or where I should be. But because I was intentional to listen and respond to the voice of God, I'm different. And so here's kind of the guiding passage and where I want us to land this time and really land this season of this podcast. It's James chapter 1, verse 19. James writes this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Let's be those people.
Come on. Well, we are so excited, church, to see what the Lord has for us in this series and over the next few months. This has been season one of the Grace Truth podcast. Please subscribe, share, because we'll be back soon with season two. Follow along on social media, our website. We love you, church.
Special announcement.
It is
Grace Truth podcast is to be continued. Another season is coming.
Yes. Well, keep in tune with us. Walk in the way, church. Go and be the church.